Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Grey Leopard Code with Gary Norris Gray. Gary will be coming to you each Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, talking sports live on GLC.
Thank you.
No man, no weapon. Arms against death, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sin to go against our skin become blessings. The movement is the rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One third God, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why I rode the saddle on the bus. That's why we walk through Ferguson with our hands up. When it goes down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots be on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours.
Every man, woman, and child. Even Jesus got his crown in front of a crowd. They march with the torch, we gon' run with it now. Never look back, we done gone hundreds of miles. From dark roads, heroes, to become a hero. Facing the league of justice, his power was the people. Enemy is lethal, a king became regal. Saw the face of Jim Crow under a bald ego. No one can win a war individually. It takes the wisdom of the elders and young people's energy. Welcome to the story we call victory, the coming of the Lord. My eyes have seen the glory.
One day, when the glory comes, it'll be ours.
Welcome. Welcome to GLC. I'm Gary Osgray, and we are in a battle. A battle! Okay? The United States of America is in trouble. And people ain't seeing it. Treason all around us. We ain't seeing it. We have a president of the United States. A president of the United States who ordered rebellion. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but 160 years ago, same thing happened. We got Reggie Reggie in the house, Reggie, go ahead, Reg.
Big G. Can you hear me, Big G?
Yeah, I got you, bro.
Hey, go ahead and start, brother. I'm right with you. Go ahead. Roll.
Well, what I'm going to say is this. You have an administration of the United States who sat down 3 months earlier and logically calculated how to undermine the United States. Knowing that this goes all the way up the Republican ladder.
Yes,
is McCarthy, McConnell, they all knew about this. And they said, nothing. They all knew about what was going on. They said nothing. My fellow Americans, if you don't understand what happened January 6th, you don't understand anything at all. You were one step,
preach, guys,
one
preach.
Step away from Putin's head, okay? Let me repeat that again. we were one step away from dead end. There we were.
Hey, Gary, and the wide Super Bowl club
needs a fire.
Thank you.
He's in.
$100,000
fine. He needs
to be fired.
That's right. Fired. Because what Joe Rio said is what most of these right-wing dingbats are digging.
Yep.
My fellow Americans.
Yep.
My fellow Americans. It can happen again. If we don't dig our guard, it can happen again. Watch what you're doing. What you got
ready? Well, see, the thing that comes in is that thank you for coming on. I'm on the road, unfortunately, so nobody's yours. I apologize for that. Sorry about that. But what really troubles me, Gary, that when the insurrection started, the Proud Boys and other military people were in flight where if martial law was called, they were in position to make sure that they had everything taken over before the military even got there.
That's right.
That's number
That's
one.
Right. There you go.
Number two, this was well-financed by money people of the corporate ladder, not the Republican Party, which we know they're part of it. But we're talking about millionaires and billionaires that financed this thing.
Yep.
And you
have
to ask
right.
the question.
And you got it right now in San Francisco.
Yep.
Elon Musk, who is a car dealer with Tesla,
Thank you. And he got several lawsuits of discrimination against black employees and others in his own organization. It was so egregious.
This thing has a racial overtone. And this major overdrive needs to be quashed. What I mean is this. President Donald John Trump opened the door for racial enemies. And all the fools rushed in.
Yes, sir.
Now we got people openly, the ADA wing.
Yep.
What Del Rio said this week doesn't surprise me at all.
He said it last year, Gary. He said it last year in the tweet. And they talked about it last year during the season. So why are they surprised? He opened the door last year for us.
He talked
about supporting Trump.
Your cousin's right. Matt Freeman said, the NFL needs to pull away from Fox Sports. He's right. Thank you.
But they won't do it. But they need to. And see, Gary, you know what really bothers me? That a lot of these NFL players, I understand they got families. I understand this is a lifelong dream to play in the NFL. Again, I understand it. But I understand that a lot of guys who did stand up got blackballed even beyond Kaepernick. And you go back to Kurt Flood and the plethora of others. But my thing, Gary, when the organization of the Washington football team has not one, not two, but three men of color in high-ranking positions.
Yep.
And you don't get this guy checked.
Yep.
You are opening the door for the mutiny with the players.
Yep.
$100,000, I don't even think he's going to pay that fine. I think somebody Either going to donate the money to him or either the team going to pay it.
You know what's going to happen? All these idiots who are watching the football club fans, we're paying for it. We're paying for it for him.
Oh, yeah. It ain't going to hurt him. He's not going to lose that money. It's going to be a GoFund or somebody's going to write him a check anonymously and going to send it to him and put it in his account. And we'll never know anything about it.
I want people to think about this. I want people to really think about this. And not in West Germany today. Not like the Nazi flag in Germany. You can't fly.
Thank you. Thank you.
Why? Why can't you fly a flag? It's because it's rebellion against the German government.
Thank you. Treasonous act.
The United States of America allows the Confederate flag to fly from Virginia to Texas, even in California.
And the swastika. Don't get the swastika. They let people walk around with the swastika.
And my thing is this. Does this consistently AP these guys We're back.
Yep.
We'll go against them and run
do what they
to our office.
Do
once
what
they
do.
Get in the office, guess what? They don't do anything.
Hey, you can tell us Scott down South Carolina. He's a
thank
disgrace.
You. Thank you.
Every time I see him, I check the TV. The guy is a disgrace.
But they don't want real black men. They don't want, like J.C. Watt. I would have voted for J.C. Watt.
Retirement got you going out of town again this week?
knew he was a player. Knew he was running around.
Yeah.
And she doesn't know
how
he
was. What's
going on, fellas?
Uh-oh. Give him room. Give him room.
The Loud Club is alive and well, and they're working in D.C. as we speak.
I wanted to make
reference to what Reggie said, because that show was very good. First Lady, I've seen it for the first time myself. And the vignette with Michelle going to Tuskegee to speak and Betty getting drunk at the party and all that. I was like, damn, they're a buck wild. But it makes a lot of sense.
She went off on Donna Summer's Claw in the Bee Gees. She was going off.
It was wild. I can see it, though, because there's a lot of meat in the sandwich, especially the Roosevelt part. Everybody in the Roosevelt was rolling like that. You know, she was down low before there was down low. And
yes, sir.
Michelle must have really bit her lips several times in dealing with Barack on certain things. You got the impression from the show, and this is only my opinion, I got the impression from the show that all the blackness was in Michelle Obama's pockets, and Barack was more than willing to kiss ass to do whatever he needed to do.
Thank you.
To be
the puppet,
figurehead. He was more than willing to be the figurehead, and Michelle was the one with the edge, and Michelle kept it together only because she didn't want to whip nobody's ass. Actually, she did want to whip somebody's ass. Barack didn't want to whip nobody's ass.
Hey,
you know,
Hillary Clinton, Ron Emanuel, them the two of her type. Hillary Clinton, Ron Emanuel.
No shit.
We're all 50 years blood, right?
Yep.
We all went through the 60s.
Yep.
We all went through the early 70s.
Yep.
I don't know about you. I'll be, you know what, if I go through this again.
Yeah.
And folks, I'm telling you, the United States kept trying to turn the clock. Again. We cannot go back to 68 again. I'm sorry, we can't do it.
They working on it.
Well, I agree with you, G. It's just that the obviousness of everything that they're doing is really ugly, and we haven't seen any kind of redress as far as, do people really care? You know, they're making it seem
we are
invisible people. I mean, I'm not trying to be funny. I'm not talking about the book Invisible Man. I'm talking about the life we live in right now. All this shit is going on, and it really is. It obliterates us. You know, they talk about, did so-and-so do this, did so-and-so do this on January 6th. They know good and damn well these motherfuckers did what they did. They know it.
And the chain of command, too.
Yeah.
That's why they fight so hard to win the midterm, by any means necessary. They want to squash.
That's right. It's all compounded.
They knew.
They put a plan in place. There were side plans in place. I truly believe in my heart that Kushner went over to Saudi Arabia to ask them If we can pull this coup off, will you recognize our government? It's not the first time in the country's emissary said otherwise. It's true. They surely, the Saudis would have agreed in a heartbeat because they don't really give a fuck. They don't really give a fuck. All they care about is pay for
all
the
money. Hey, gentlemen, let me ask y'all something. Okay, maybe it's me and I'm boo-boo the fool, but when it comes to sports being harassment, isn't it interesting now that the white sport of golf has now splintered itself because the Saudi-backed golf tournament is starting to bring out some of the white boys
to go ahead
and come over there. And am I a conspiracy theory or am I missing something here?
Cartoon with a little white baseball screen when the gas house really hit it. I hit the shit up on the white ball.
It seemed like it'd be the Broken Hill Bombers baseball team.
I make that golf ball screen like James Brown. Lord, I miss it. But you're right. Everybody's got amnesia all of a sudden. This goes the way back to the election. Donald Trump told everybody, I'm going to fucking cheat. I tried to pull election boxes. I tried to take mail boxes off the thing. I tried to take mail machines away. I did everything I could to try to slow the count, to try to eliminate people off the ballots. Now, even as we speak, the Liars Club is convening, and they're not going to talk about the fact that those people in Michigan should be arrested for lying about being electoral people, and the same thing Pennsylvania and all the other affected states. Those motherfuckers should be behind bars right now. So who are you kidding? You know, if you're not going to arrest everybody under the law. Don't nobody know nothing exactly. All of a sudden, everybody's stupid. It's like, fuck that. You know what's going on. There's something happening here.
Where's Nino Brown at? We ain't got no Nino Brown to come in here and say, I never liked you anyway.
That's right, pretty motherfucker. I never liked you.
Don't nobody know nothing. I got all these votes around here. I got all these mailboxes. Don't nobody know nothing.
Nobody know nothing. And because nobody know nothing, nobody really does know nothing because they want to make sure people don't know what the hell they did.
Michael and Reggie, I know this. I do know this.
Give G room.
Watch her back. Watch her side. Watch her forward.
Yep.
This much, she should get credit for being a stand-up. She got bigger balls,
yes,
apparently,
yes,
than Donald Trump does, because she
Ted
gets straight
Cruz
up.
That bitch has Ted Cruz.
I don't think Liz and I are going to agree on a lot of shit, but I tell you what, Liz said straight up, y'all ain't shit if he can't live up to the text you're supposed to, which
thank
is
you
to hold
yep
up the Constitution. She said that's what it's about. She said, I don't care if I agree with Mike or I don't agree with Mike. I'm going to hold up the Constitution. And if the Constitution says some shit is funky, then some shit is funky and needs to be corrected. And that's exactly what she's trying to do. And she said, going after Donald Trump's ass is gone.
But she said, what she said stuck out my mind. When she said, Donald J. Trump will come and go.
That's right.
But if you go against the Constitution, if you break the law as a stain on the Republican Party,
then
that's
what
they are.
That's
what
true
they are right now.
The Republican Party is no longer a party of politicians. They are a party of terrorists. I'm sorry,
that's right.
This is a terrorist organization. White supremacy running rampant. Liars running rampant. You got political figures, if they had their way, putting hits on their opponents. But gentlemen,
that's
I want to throw this to the fire, if I may. Now, see, this is what's been bugging me. You have all these Republicans out here who known to broke the law and act crazy. What the ham sandwich is the Justice Department under Joe Biden fucking doing? What the ham sandwich going on with the Justice Department in New York? But we thought for sure the
sisters
had their first head on the treasonous, and ain't heard a fucking thing anymore.
I'll tell you this thing. Joe Biden is the Republicans' best friend. He's so busy sucking his dick trying to play friends.
And Bill Clinton, they're the best Republicans I've seen in my life.
Hell yeah. No, bottom line, you got to be equal under the law. He's not even pretending to show equity. He's not even pretending to show balance. You know, he's like, look, I need you niggas to help me get elected. Thank you, niggas, y'all got me elected. Now I can forget you again. You know, they don't really give a fuck about black people. And we always knew that. So don't pretend, you know, don't piss on me and tell me it's raining. You know, that's exactly what's going on right now. And as long as the Liars Club is convening, this shit is not going to get resolved.
I know some of you don't agree with me with Cole Garvin. But I'm going to tell you something.
Yes, sir.
The political coalition between the disabled community and the LGBT, whatever the LG would add to it.
Yeah.
And he bragged about being the team maker. If I don't like the policies, I'm not voting for it. So what the fuck is going on?
Exactly.
Excuse me, Mom Gray. I know you're getting soap in my mouth. I've been around Michael too long. I don't know nothing.
I'm sure even Ma Gray, with or without the soap, can say right now that the Lions Club is doing what they're doing for the express purpose of obfuscating black people and their rights. And make no bones about this.
And the Mexicans are too stupid to even realize. And I'm not being racist when I say that.
No, this is a civil rights issue. There's no question about it. You know, you're going to try to deliberately stop black people from voting. Different states putting in rules to try to curtail everything that the Voting Rights Act was supposed to do. When Alito got in 2005, it basically tried to nullify the Voting Rights Act altogether. Now there's only little pieces of it left.
Hey, Garrett, I got a question for you, Doug. In California, here in the state of Virginia, the Hispanics go to the ninth grade. After the ninth grade, the family make a drop out of school and join the family business. It either be construction, laundry, or either restaurant. Is the family going out there in y'all state, Gary and Mike?
No, not at all.
No.
So that's what happened in Virginia. They would literally have them drop out of school after the ninth grade and join the family business and move forward.
That's right.
No. And these kids, what happens when you take out,
yeah.
This is able to have a spark. It's a neighborhood dog. You can make it on your own. If you don't have an advocate, they're going to put you in that class.
Mm-hmm.
If you are allowed, they're going to put you in that class. I'm telling you, I've seen it.
Okay. Great point, Gary.
And once you get that class, you're gone. You disappear. You're gone.
I think
you can speak to this guy. What the hashtag is going on with the Disability Act? Because it seems like the chief has been defamed out of Disability Act.
How many hours we got with this?
Oh, Lord. Hey, Mike, I hit a nerve, Mike.
America's getting older. When America gets older, even if it comes to shame, people are finally realizing once they get 60 and 70 years old, oh, I can't hear, oh, I can't see, oh, I can't walk. Oh, they're finally getting it now.
Yeah.
But it takes a personal experience to get there. So the ADA and President Trump in his ambassador break the ADA. He tried.
Trump don't give a fuck about anything about getting away with what's going to go on. The Liars Club is actually going to protect him because they can say all the messed up stuff they can say. That's fact. Everything he did is fact. You know, you can't sugarcoat bullshit, and facts kill bullshit. But the problem isn't the fact that Donald Trump lied or that Donald Trump did what he did. The fact is the people who believe this fool, the people who say, I believe him because he said, oh, there was fraud in the election. So these idiots say, well, there must have been fraud in the election. And then even after they say, well, we couldn't find any fraud, they still say, well, Trump said there was fraud in the election, so I believe him. Now, they may say this because they don't like the outcome. They may say it because they don't like black people. They may say this for whatever reason they want. The bottom line is, whether he's here or not, his effect on what's going on is what created this bullshit. You got one cat right now in Pennsylvania who is running as a Republican who will say right now that he believes that Joe Biden didn't win the election. Now, how the hell can you get somebody to go so far as to state publicly that they believe that he didn't win the election and run as a fucking candidate for public office? Something's wrong with that.
That's a lie compared to a lie. When you put your hand on the Bible, you pledge allegiance to the United States, not the Republican Party, not the Donald J. Trump. And that's where the Republican Party's gone wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it's gone wrong.
Yeah, that's where it's gone wrong.
I return you, the Republican Party is a terrorist organization, man. They are a terrorist organization now. They're no longer political.
They are a rebellious party now. The old Confederate South. Now, wait a minute. The good now.
Yep. Remember those Superman movies? The second one, when the people came in from the Phantom Zone, and General Zod broke through, and he was telling everybody to kneel before Zod. That's what Trump wants. Kneel before Trump. That's exactly what he wants. He wants everybody to kiss the ring. And if you don't, then fuck you, because that's basically what Mike Pence did. Mike said, wait a minute, this ain't right. And, you know, there's still things about Mike Pence I find deplorable, but when it came down to it, he's like, I know what's right. This ain't right. The guy won fair and square. Why would I want to change the outcome? Because you lost. If you lost, you lost.
My best came to a genius moment. What I mean is this. My best is a holy guy. Well, someone holy guy. He knows that if he does it wrong, God is going to break his ass because he knows he's doing it wrong.
Hey, I got a question. No joke, because we've seen it. We've seen candidates straight up
We're all Trump. We're all about Trump. And they don't care. They don't care. They want to be about Trump because they know if they go along with this, they'll get whatever they want out of this.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
What's up, T-Mac?
How are you? One of the, I don't know how much of the first night you guys saw, but I find it interesting that it was Pence and the baby mama of Trump that had their come to Jesus moment during that whole thing. And Mike, you're right in the sense of, he wanted to have that, he wanted to have that czar moment. In a sense, because he wanted a vote of him, not for the Republic, just on that alone. I mean, as crazy as Watergate was, to a certain extent, and again, this is not to exonerate Tricky Dick, but he got caught doing what a lot of other administrations have done in the past. I'm not trying to condone it or what have you. As much as he was still basically trying to stick it to everybody who he felt stuck it to him in 1960 and in 1962 when he ran for California, his whole thing was, he figured, he didn't ask for a blood oath. If anything, his subordinates were probably more loyal to him than he was to them. Because
that's true.
They were willing to fall on the sword.
Until
they saw, to coin the phrase of Reggie, you ain't gonna say nothing now. And then it was like, it's all because he remembered.
Don't nobody know nothing. Nobody know nothing.
When John Dean's come to Jesus moment was, hey, there's a cancer on the presidency. Well, John, why don't you go check it out and get back with me? And he knew right there. Oh, this blankety blank is trying to shit.
Yep.
Remember, Ehrlichman and Haldeman tried to put it all on Dean to a certain extent. But when Dean did his Bernie Mac impersonation, All bets was off, man. Yeah. Basically. Because, here's the thing. The thing that I hope comes out, and I don't want to dismiss, the actual riots. I think what needs to come out is just how far he was willing to go. But that's the thing. The thing is, and I remember the Watergate. I always use, just because of the scandalous nature of it, I always use the Watergate hearings as a guide because the whole thing was, if you remember, the Republican Party was just as much behind Nixon in 73 and 74 as they were behind Trump. And
yes, they were.
It took a culmination of events and whatever, and him denying, when the quote-unquote smoking gun came up, and he was still, he fought like a banshee with them takes, even after he resigned.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't want anything to come up. He revealed probably more and them and those shitty interviews with David Frost than he did than he tried to do if they had gone, because if they had gone on with the impeachment hearings, all they would have to do is we ain't got to bring in no they wouldn't have to bring in no folks. Play the tape,
nope.
Man. Play the tape. Play the tape for 2.5 hours, and and he would have, you know, he'd have been growing smaller and smaller in his chair like Fred Flintstone when he went to go speak to Mr. Slate. He'd have been Adam Ant by the time those hearings were over if it went through. But you just put it this way. You just hope. Now, I made a point to watch, and I was pleasantly surprised that they did put out some stuff. But I like this way. If they're gonna keep doing it the way that they're doing, and to be quite honest, it should be relatively easy because he goes on, even with his reaction, you knew he was going to react the way he did. That in a way, that's the best part because he gives himself away. It's like, when Edward R. Murrow decided that they were going to quote unquote go after McCarthy, he didn't go after him right away. He took time.
No.
He took time out because McCarthy would go around, would speak at events and everything like that, and they just kept piling. Okay, put that tape to the side. And then it became a thing. All right, we got enough now. Let's go get that ass. And if you remember, the very night that he said, tonight we will be doing a study of Joseph McCarthy, in his own words, and he just let the tape fly. And how it actually came up, but it ended with him saying, y'all know what this guy is up to. Y'all been trying.
That's
y'all
right.
been hide. Y'all been hiding out. Y'all been whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But see, we didn't. Remember, we didn't have to do nothing. All we just do was let us play out. So when he gave him the chance to rebuttal, instead of him rebuttal, he went after Murray. Murrow. And it was then I ain't got nothing. I got nothing left to do. But keep it going. But that's the thing. You just hope that they keep putting more stuff out there.
You know what surprised me about this? I'm ignorant or whatever, but what surprised me was the speed that Donald Trump would after his own daughter. I was like,
Again, when you're talking about a megalomaniac, you're going to do anything. Everybody tries to use the quote-unquote Hitler comparison. I try to use Nixon because, Nixon never went after family. Nixon never went after whatever. He was, his whole thing was, I'm the president. But for the most part, the thing that pissed him off more than anything was, how did Kennedy get away with that shit?
Because he knew
Kennedy had all sorts of skeletons. Because he's more like Bugs Bunny and Cecil Turtle. How does that moron do it? But what bothers me is that they had the opening night thing. And now, when is the next one?
Monday at 11:00.
And it's gonna be consistent afterwards. It's gonna be something every day, or
I think there'll be two or three more. That's it.
Okay. Because, see, it's, you know, the only thing that sort of bothered me was that, like I said, they were playing it up like it was, you know, I mean, I understand the import, but they were sort of playing it up like it was, you know, Thursday night, like it was Thursday night football on Fox.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
no, you're right,
like,
Tony. You're right. It's real on that shit.
Come on, y'all.
That's
like, come
exactly
on,
what they were doing. They were treating it like an event.
Yeah.
They were treating it like an event. You know, for the democracy title. You know, you've got so in one corner in a steel cage match. Get the fuck out of here. You know. The Lion
and
Club is exactly what it is.
TV did not even broadcast that.
Well, no, they look, they show, but no. That you should not be surprised at because, see, Fox is always going to show their pimp hand. But at
That's
some
right.
point,
mm-hmm.
at some
mm-hmm.
point, at some point, even the pimp as even the pimp of the year gets called out, and at some
That's
point,
right.
they're going to get because see, look. There were, you know, there was a lot of aspects of Thursday which were as predictable as an SD Jones wrestling match.
Yeah, yeah.
Trump's rebuttal, and Fox's, you know, Fox's way of sick. See, look, they're shameless. You know, they've already shown you that they're not a true news organization. They have nothing on Joseph Goebbels. And all them other, you know, Nazi propagandas because they're like, yeah, we ain't gonna tell the truth. What you gonna do about it? And that's fine. But see, at some point, that defiance and that arrogance, you know, like Mama says, the chickens will come home to roost at some point. And I like mine fried, mind you. And so I'm looking forward to when those chickens finally come home, because when they do, there's going to be hell to pay. What's funny is their loyal followers are going to just find out just how, because see, you know, newsflash, they don't give a damn about them either.
Nope. They don't.
Hey, T, I got to kind of push back, T, because, okay, look at the idiot defensive coordinator of the new Washington football team. No matter what you say, and one thing Steven just said that pissed me the fuck off, as he always do, and I know, T, I'm on my 12-step program of a six-year three-step.
I've kicked you out of the program. You somebody else's problem now.
I tried, T. No, but on a serious tip, you know, when Keyshawn said I couldn't play for the guy because you know what Gruden bullshit was, Brian Clark said I could. My thing is, no matter what this clown said, talking about, well, we need to have a discussion. Bullshit. No matter what facts you put in front of this guy, he ain't gonna believe it.
Exactly.
So what good is it dealing with these people?
Reg, you misconstrued what I'm saying. I'm not saying I've never said we need to deal with them. My thing is, I'm more on lines of karma. You know, it may not come when you want it to, but that motherfucker has never missed an appointment. And see,
that's
my
right.
thing
yeah,
is,
right.
my,
as Mike said, that bitch on time.
Exactly. My thing is, because see, there's going to come a moment for the Jack Del Rios and the Tucker Carlsons and the Jason Woodlocks and all of them. There's going to come a moment. And, again, this is the whole thing of chickens coming home to roost. I just want to live long enough to see them get their comeuppance. That's all. Now, thing is, I'm not into educating folks no more. You know, in many ways, the Jack Del Rios of the world are very easy to deal with. You know exactly where they're coming
from.
So when you can see, what's funny to me is they don't realize that everything is cause and effect. If you treat someone in a certain way, please please, please do not be pissed off that they treat you a certain way. Because, see, that's the thing. Because, see, at some point, he's going to be like, well, what did I do that was so wrong? And why are people whatever? If you got to if we have to literally, you know, do explain yourself by the numbers, then you're not worth the time. You're just not worth the time. And see,
these guys right now know exactly what they're doing, right?
And see, that's my point. Cause see, off way too many times we always pass these folks off as, oh, they're crazy, they don't know. They know exactly what the hell they're saying.
Exactly, like,
what's the line? If someone disrespects you the first time, if someone disrespects you numerous times, believe them the first time. It shouldn't take you 2, 3, 4, 67 times to realize, hey, he don't like me. So it's because at some point, you know how they say it's better to say nothing and be thought of as a fool, and then open your mouth
and leave no doubt.
A lot of times, you got to let them just and it's tough because you want to go upside their head mentally and most importantly physically, but sometimes you got to let them literally and figuratively hang themselves. I always go back to one of the tenets that Dr. King did early on in the movement was he used television. When they showed all them hoses and those dogs down in Alabama, there were people in the United States that were like, this is the United States? It is. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And see, now, the crazy thing is, even though we are, quote-unquote, supposed to be more of a sophisticated republic, and we have more, we have more ways to show things and what have you. Unfortunately, you still have folks with that mentality. Connor and the white citizens movement may not still be around, but their ancestors and their sons of ancestors are still around. They take different forms.
You got that right.
I mean, what's the difference between the Proud Boys and the Klan? The Proud Boys maybe have nicer trucks. That's about the biggest difference. Like you always talk about with Roger Goodell. Just because Roger Goodell wears a Brooks Brothers suit doesn't make him less of a redneck.
That's right.
No. He's just a well-dressed, well-clocked brother.
My thing is this. The Confederacy lost the war, so I think that flag should be put in the museum. It should be put in the museum. Those Confederate statues.
What's so funny is I remember I saw this on one of the HBO shows. A lot of those symbols of the Confederacy, like the statues and whatever, a lot of them came it wasn't during Reconstruction or it wasn't during it became later. It came later. Right around the
during
time
the educational
before,
period.
During the in some instances it happened during the civil rights movement because they were trying to remember. White folks are into symbolism. They would literally cut off their left nut.
And that goes to the women too.
In many ways, the women are worse.
No, that's
to be
right.
quite honest. No,
yeah.
They cut the nut and the titty off.
Yeah, but it's but you know, again, you just you know, you again, I'm not ready to, hey, you know, start, you know,
hey,
doing
hey,
the cabbage patch.
I got a question for you, T, because
okay.
We was on earlier, and
answer,
I apologize for changing the subject, but T, here's my question to you. We know that the Saudis, and like Mike pointed out, that they're trying to get together, that's the Saudis. If this Banana Republic comes through, will you acknowledge it? And they probably say, hell yeah, we get money from a channel. We don't give a fuck. Now, we're going with the PGA and the Civil War with the Saudis. Now, we know that sports is harassment, but how much of a staple of the great golf of white America, if they infiltrate that, how much damage could they do?
Well, look, at the end of the day, and we sort of touched on this during the show, you know, rich white folks arguing with other rich white folks don't mean nothing to me. End of the day. And see, the thing is, the Saudis are basically doing, quote unquote, the American way, capitalism. You know,
yes.
Mm-hmm.
PGA is giving you how much? We'll
mm-hmm.
double and triple that.
That's right.
And all of a sudden, it ain't about the flag. It ain't about apple pie. Hell, it ain't even about mom. All of a sudden, it's like,
my bank account.
Yeah, really. Really, really.
Okay, here's my question, gentlemen, because you guys are media savvy. Okay, already ESPN has shown just clips of the tournament. Now, how long before somebody stream this bad boy or some media person go to these Saudis and say, hey, we want to carry your tournament over that checkbook up. Who you think is going to do it? Ryan Allen or
three,
my
three,
mother?
Three, two, one. Give it a. I'm willing to bet you before the year is over with. You probably can watch it on the internet. So I'm sure there's somebody.
If you look at the way that they did the tournament, they had high quality cameras or something. But it looked no different than them covering any event. Reg,
think of this. Remember, we've got to remember, they've had overseas golf for years. What's the biggest difference now? Look, when we were all, in our formative years, there was only a few outlets, there weren't as many, you didn't have as many, you only had TV, radio, print. The internet changes everything. You don't have to be the Mouse or Fox or CBS or NBC to get that. It's right, because what's going to wind up happening is let's just say the ESPN version of Saudi Sports already has, matter of fact, they may be the ones fitting the bill. That's where the money may be coming from to a certain extent. So
I'm thinking it because ESPN sure has had that coverage.
Well, look. Put it this way: who's to say that they're not already negotiating with them?
Mm-hmm. Two things at the table.
Well, look again. Like I said, one rich white man arguing with another rich white man. Why would I worry about that? I mean, look, how you make your money, that ain't none of my business. And God bless you, Google.
Yeah.
You want to
yeah.
make you want to make some money and feed your kids and whatever like that. That ain't none of my business. And it's and also, it's not it's always funny that the PGA. Of all people, all of a sudden wants to get a moral compass. What about John Shipman? Where was your moral compass then? Where was your moral compass when Charlie Sifford was out there? Or Ted Rose?
Thank you.
Or Bill Stiller? Or all them guys? But it's always funny. it's always funny how, if, put it this way, if you really think that this is about Saudi Arabia and their human rights, then I got some land, then, you know, then I got some Trump steaks you may want to buy down the road.
Thank you.
We got a caller,
You
ran call into their show. All right, caller, you're on the air. I was a legendary figure. But Cal said he's going to do an apology video to the trolls and have the camera down. You look down at it. A couple of trolls have told him on Twitter he needs to apologize for making fun of him.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, take it back.
Way to go, Gary. You big
take
time, man. The trolls have come in. You're big time, Gary.
Thank you.
Don't take long for the trolls to come in.
Hey, Donald Trump
to pick on another station. See what happens, Gary, when you tell the truth? They come out to be crazy, the woodwork. Tell him go back home to the home and eat his Pablo. Or get out of his mama's basement and his underwear.
Belmont State is today. Michael, are you there?
I am right here listening and I'm right here watching.
Okay.
The weather conditions haven't changed, although it's cloudy. There's a threat of rain, but it's more the air is thick than anything else. As of right now, it's 73 degrees. And the chance of rain is there, but I don't know if it'll manifest itself before the race. As of right now,
what time's the race?
The race will be around 6:45 or thereabouts.
Why so late? Why they running so late?
No, Reggie two letters, T and V.
Oh,
that's right. That's right. They run. They've always run late in the day.
They couldn't squeeze that bitch in before then.
You got to remember too, Reggie. It's springtime, so it's a lot lighter on the East Coast. On the West Coast, this is just an afternoon race for them. They've done this to get the full effect of how much in the crowd and in the pools they are. As of right now, the betting is very heavy and it's pretty balanced. The longest shot on the board right now is only 12-1. There's 8 horses in the race, and you got about 3 or 4 horses that would be considered favorites.
It's a good
betting race. Right now, whoever wins
will
pay
decent. What, they got 8 horses running?
8 horses running. And
that's a small field.
The longest shot went from 25-1 to 12-1. So right now,
I'll just tell you something right there.
A lot of money
is coming
in.
Heavy.
And a lot of money is still to come in.
There's still,
what do you say, 6:45? So basically, they've got over 45 minutes to bet, and, you know, lots
yeah,
of change
yeah.
between now.
Money
the race side to the Belmont just finished, and they're going to probably have another 5-10 minutes of cool-off before the whole thing
comes out. Hey, Mike, who's in the first lane as far as who's in the middle lane? The favorites, or they got the long shot in the far lane?
No, as of right now, everybody's pretty much spread out. The favorites are sitting between lanes 3 and 6. And the long shot is in lane 8 as well as lane 2.
Oh, okay.
So right now you got a real balance. There's one horse, We the People, who right now is about 3-1. And
is that one
no
of the favorites, We the People?
Yeah, and there's no horse rated right now higher than 12-1.
Rich Strike.
Rich Strike, the horse who came in, is now 7-2. Oh, no, he's been bumped up to 9-2. 7-2, excuse me. Sonny
okay.
Leon,
the horse that won the
Preakness,
is he there?
Sorry?
Right, the horse that won the Preakness, is he there?
The ones that won the Preakness is not there. No, the
Okay, the ones that won the Derby is there, right?
But the ones who won the Preakness did not come.
I know one of them wasn't there.
Yeah. No.
So this is really a weird field because you don't have.
It's a weird field. It's a horse. It's a bunch of horses that can't say they're not fit because Rich Wright said they needed like a 5-week break before they got back into it, and now there's a 6-week break in between the Derby and the Belmont. So the horse is fit. There'll be no excuses. As Jenny was stating on Wednesday,
are these two or three-year-olds running this race?
These are always 3-year-olds. They're always 3-year-olds. No, they're always 3-year-olds.
How many females?
Delph, there's a female in the race. The three horse Nest. She was second.
I hope she's
not
in heat. You better watch it. She's in heat, or they're gonna be running at her.
Well, you know, you could be possibly thinking about some strategy because if the three horse is getting the front. The male horse is smelling that coochie, they'll be chasing her.
Thank you. There's a little dog in all of us.
Got another bug.
I'm sorry, Mom Gray. I should have said, I'm sorry, Mom Gray. Gary, forgive me.
Let me go get the soap on his ass.
Let me go get the soap on my mouth.
Having said that, though, Gary.
It's Mike's fault. Mike made me do it.
Mike's fault. 1-800 blame the black guy.
That's right. Gary, as you're flying, though.
Where the Negroes at?
There's a pretty good pool. There's a pretty good set of odds. There's a lot of money shelled out. For a race that didn't have a Triple Crown winner, they're getting a lot of action because all the interests are close. They're close to the bone. Now you got 7-1, 8-1 long shots, which did not happen in any of the other two races. So whoever wins is going to pay a decent price.
Yeah. You know, Mike, just out of curiosity, I'm actually, and maybe I'm being naive, I'm actually surprised that DraftKings and FanDuel didn't even do some sort of perfunctory thing on either one of the Triple Crown races. Or maybe they just... Maybe the money wasn't coming in. Maybe the NBA and hockey was killing the money.
Wait, FanDuel and DraftKings, and the NBA, I'll tell you, they got that run up.
Sure.
Hey, guys, real quick, maybe I'm boo-boo the food, but that game last night changed the subject. Had me scratching my fucking head. Now, I know it's heavy bet on the NBA. But for them to go 7 games now, which looks like it's going to be, maybe I'm wrong, but the Golden State Warriors are hobbling in. The fans are saying, a certain player with Golden State, yelling expletives at him, and now all of a sudden nobody knows nothing? They can't play? They can't shoot? They can't deliver?
Well, Reg, what's the one thing that's happened in this series?
I've lost.
Both teams have won a game on the road.
Oh, okay.
So doesn't that sort of, no, I'm just saying. See, a lot of times.
Well, not for me, not knowing it.
A lot of times, you know, I think because here's the thing, because they dragged this thing out, and there's basically. 6 days in between games now, it seems. There's information overload, and to a certain extent, you can overthink this thing. Now,
let me finish.
Now, Boston took game one, and everybody thought a certain way. The Warriors came back, and okay, now we're going to go to Boston. So now, basically, the same thing that happened in Boston is the same thing that happened in Golden State. So now it basically comes down to 2 out of 3. And see, now that they've gone back to the old traditional 2111 because it's twofold now because since they're going from East Coast to West Coast, that's why there's a game Monday instead of tomorrow, so it would give them a chance or whatever. But
rest up there.
A lot of this, look, for the most part, these two teams are relatively, I mean, it's basically, arguably, you're saying the best offensive team versus the best defensive team. So in that sense, it should be a back and forth series where
they were still in it late.
It wasn't like they got killed. I mean, they won.
Hey, T, I got to do my expression of Gary. I'm sorry, Gary. That's how I was feeling last night. I'm looking at the TV cussing my ass off. My wife said, sit your ass down and calm down. I said, hell no. She gave me a look. I said, okay.
Unlike Quizway, when Boston won Game One, it was they shot their lights out in the fourth quarter. What happened last night? Even though it was back and forth, it took a run, and Curry was Curry. And see, here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
He was hurt and what have you, but he made adjustments. I think we forget that, that's what the coaches do, when you got all that time and whatever, you're gonna make adjustments. If you're it's not like neither one of these teams stumbled into the finals. Both of them have been elite teams all year.
Tony,
that was one of the best coaching I've ever seen.
He took a chance by sitting down Draymond late.
Because Draymond is
one of his best defenders, and he said,
Draymond was a liability.
Only because for all the hype that he gets, he still doesn't really score. And last night, they needed scores. And see, he sort of gave you a hint as to where he was going when he changed the starting lineup a little bit. He brought in a guy that hadn't started.
Draymond ass went to the bench early, too.
Tatum, Smart, and Brown. See, this is about these three guys. Tatum, Smart, and Brown, when they're on, they're on. When they're off, they're way off.
Well, see, that's the thing with the 3-point thing. If you get on a run, it's tremendous, like Game One.
Yeah.
But when those shots don't hit, if I
tell you like this, let Boston fuck around and get blown out Monday. Their ass ain't going to win when they come back to Boston.
That's why we got to see what happens. Because see, look, both teams have already winning on the road ain't nothing for either one of these teams as this series is going.
I got a bad feeling between officiating and everything else. If Golden State blow their doors off Monday and go to Boston, I can see them withstanding the home court and taking that bitch back home, and I ain't talking about playing the game seven.
To be quite honest, for the most part, the officials haven't been a factor in this series. To me, for the most part, they have not been affected. A game has not been lost or won because of a bad call.
I'd say game one, the officials kind of let them play a little bit physical in game one.
Well, look at the first game in Boston. They let Boston beat up on our Curry and them a little bit too, didn't they?
Yeah, that's what I said. It's been kind of back and forth with the fish.
It's been, like I said,
1 minute that she found different and that she beat
gentlemen,
up.
Gentlemen, they're going to have to change the rule. I've been saying it all year long. Man, when you roll up a leg of somebody, you can't stop me doing it. You can't roll up a leg. It's happened 3 times.
Well, you know what? They let Draymond get away with it in Oakland, and they basically let Tatum get away with it.
I agree,
Gary. But you know what? As much as we know how incompetent the refs can be, this is at least put it this way: through the first 4 games, I think it's safe to say that the refs have actually been somewhat of a non-factor to me. A game hasn't been lost or won.
All I say, they better get WWE officials for this next game.
No. I mean, look, see. Players are going to play.
They ain't throwing Draymond out of the game. He ain't getting thrown out.
You know, for the most part, other than game one, he hasn't. Because, see, look, you have to remember, he's one more tech away from pulling you're being kicked out for a game, and you got to know that he doesn't want that to happen again, because we all know how that played out before.
He'll be on the next thing smoking. They would run his ass out of town. He'd be on the next thing smoking. He won't be a warrior no more. He's going to miss his state and coach.
I want to tell you something a little bit here, but the Miami Phillies and the Chicago White Sox. The Phillies have won 13 or 14 games in a row. They got a 529 record now.
My God, what happened when you changed the coach?
What he did in the meeting, he's going to fire my ass.
Hey, Gap, here's my question, Gap.
When you got a $300 million payroll, you got Bryce Harper hitting whenever he can, not being hurt. I mean, come on, man. Edelman's hiring this guy from the beginning.
Well, the White Sox are winning despite Tony La Russa farting and sleeping in games for the most part.
Is he drunk again?
It depends. And I think he does wear the pants, too, now that I think about it, too.
I'll get tired of saying it because... You sit there with 2 strikes, and you walk a guy, get out of here.
They ain't going anywhere with it, Gary, unfortunately.
Gary, do you see the reaction that player hit that home run? He has the words for them, too.
That's what I'm talking about. You got 2 strikes. Yeah. You strike him out. What's wrong with you?
It's called overmanaging, and if you watch, unfortunately, if you watch Major League Baseball on a nightly basis, you see it happen way too many times. It's just literally overmanaging because you know, look, if they wanted stratomatic baseball, then let's just take the players off the field and put everything on the computer, if that's the case.
Not change subject to you, but I think the Florida Marlins just hit another home run off of Strasburg. Talk about a bad
Yeah, he's struggling. Yeah, he's struggling. You know,
Mike said with Bugs Bunny, they hit that ball and that ball said,
Yeah, he's struggling to say the least. But,
he's struggling. He got $300 million payroll or $300 million.
Yeah,
what's his salary? About $200 million for 15 years?
he's making a couple bucks, but see, remember that was his. Remember that's his first start of the year, so you know, give him a little. You gotta give him a little bit of slack.
Might be his last to get hit again like that. Mr. Judge, I gotta ask this question from the panel. Mr. Judge from the Yankees is asking for a $400 million salary. Are you freaking crazy over 10 years? I mean, somebody's got the A-Rod contract.
Put it this way.
Ain't no
problem. Hold on one second, because there's nothing wrong with him asking whether he gets it or not. That's another story.
I knew Mike would say that.
Yeah. He may actually want $350, but if you, you know how it is, you got to ask for four, you know. If you want five, ask for six.
He gets from the Seattle Mariners, can go to Purgatory, go play with Seattle Mariners.
But you know what?
It's
fair to say that Judge might have got his inspiration from football, because let's remember something. Guaranteed contracts weren't a reality of football a few years ago, but now they are. They see players making guaranteed money. So now, if football's doing it, and they were the last bastion of this, everybody feels like they got their price, like Ted DiBiase. They got their price. And if you meet their price, they don't care who they play for. They just want the money. And right now, Judge figures if Bryce Harper can get $300 million and I won't say he's mediocre, but let's just say the Phillies overpaid for a white talent to buttress their franchise. If Judge thinks he can get 400, who am I to say he can't? Because if they're stupid enough to pay the money, go for it.
See, the thing is,
the Yankees ain't doing the John Swanberg spending money like they used to.
Number one son and number two son, they're not throwing their money around like dad did. But the thing is, let's just say they let him walk. Who's his replacement?
Exactly.
For that kind of money, you can get some boys in there to take his place.
Oh, sure,
I mean, it ain't like
sure,
he had a hot year last couple of years. He's been struggling last couple of years.
The biggest thing with him is playing more than 100 games a year. His biggest thing has been staying healthy. Now, as of right now, he's healthy. See, the biggest thing that he's going to have to prove for the most part is, you know, do you look at him as somebody that you build around, or is he just sort of a glorified kingman in the sense of he's either going to strike out or hit one out. But to be fair, he's a much better all-around player than Kingman, because you literally had to say a couple Hail Marys whenever a ball was hit to Kingman. Judge could catch the ball and total. Judge is actually a better player than we give him credit for defensively.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Now, offensively, it's funny because early on in his career, he had a lot more of a selective eye. Now he's sort of gotten into modern baseball now, where you either hit it 400 or you strike out 400 times. So let's put it this way. It's just as much of a gamble on the Yankees' part as it is for Judge to ask for that money, because their whole thing, we know their fan base. They feel like the World Series is a birthright for them, but they haven't been the one. They haven't been the one in a while, and they haven't won one in a while. And they have to say, can we win? Because we remember, the biggest thing that might be hurting Judge down the road is his running buddy, Stanton. Because remember, they're still paying him his top salary.
There's gonna be another Met Yankee World Series. Oh God, please!
It's you know what? It's way too early to even be thinking about that right now, I think, because there's still a whole lot more to get done. let's put it this way.
Are you talking about out here?
Well, you know, I'm surprised because, you know, the Dodgers are going to have something to say about that. You know?
I'm a Giant territory.
We know, you know, the Giants aren't a terrible team. I mean, you knew that they were going to look. There's, you know, you knew they weren't going to win 107 again this year.
But they're still
a very good team. They're going to be in the mix. I'll say this about the AL East: the first team that is able to make a major move pitching wise, they're going to win that division. Now, Cole is still looking for a second guy. Now, Severino's pitched pretty well so far, and Nestor Cotes has been tremendous. He has been, arguably, you could say he's been their best pitcher all year this year, most consistent. So, how long that lasts, we don't know. Look, the Yankees are always going to hit the ball, but see, the thing with them is you can't win 8-7, 9-6. During the playoffs, you get away with that.
Gary, how dare you?
And Gary, to be fair, the Mets can't play the Phillies and the Nats every week either. So the Dodgers can't play the Rockies every week too. So everybody and their mama's got a whipping boy.
How dusty Baker doing in Houston?
When the Angels were unceremoniously thrown back to Earth, there was Dusty and his boys right there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's who may be the wild card, and I don't mean the actual physical wild card, but you know who may be the wild card in that division of all teams? The Texas Rangers.
One thing about Texas, I said this over and over again about Texas. When it gets to be July, August.
Yeah. But they usually die in the heat. But now you got to remember, they play. You know, they play in their little dome now, and they got their little, you know, they have their weather related, you know, they've figured it out after all these years now. They're 2 years into their new place now, and it's like, hey, maybe them 3 o'clock starts in August. Maybe we need to do something about that. You know, it's like, yes, I am. But this way, I'm not saying that they're going to win it.
Put it this way.
They're like 2-3 games under 500, which is, and matter of fact, I think at one point they were like 3 or 4 over at some point. And again, they're like a lot of teams in baseball. They can hit with anybody. They'll go as far as their pitching will go. Because, see, truth be told, they're going to have a lot to say with who wins that division because they're going to be playing the Houston and the LA Angels of the world late in the year.
You're gonna have a literal A's fire sale, right?
Hey, Gary, save that stuff. It might be worth something I would save that stuff, man. That could be good memorabilia down the road, man.
You know what? You know what I
See, don't you feel, to coin a phrase, don't you feel like a fool right now? Because imagine a couple of bucks you would have made just off of those. I know you remember the old I'm a warrior's warrior badges. I know you probably had a couple of them, right? Imagine the kind of money you could make off of that right now.
That's the old 70 stuff.
Oh, see? All the more. See? Don't you feel like a fool now doing all that?
It's not to discount that. I was on the internet yesterday, and there's a site called They Will Kill You, and it had a call. It was recalling instances where people had done foolish things in terms of money, and this one guy embezzled millions of dollars in where he spent some of it to buy Pokemon cards.
It was
a first edition Pokemon card that was worth $100,000. And I'm like, I don't know how I got to be worth $100,000, but clearly this guy thought it was worth investing in. Now,
That
tells you how ridiculous collectibles have become. It also tells you how abstract collectibles have become. If somebody thinks something is worth something, they'll pay the price for it. Now, I don't know about Pokemon cards, but I know about football cards, baseball cards, other trading cards, and for someone to spend that kind of money on a fucking card, someone must have told you something about the inside possible worth of it. Because $100,000 for a fucking Pokemon card blows my mind.
Yeah. I have stopped trying to figure out the sports collectibles thing, because you never know what something's worth or what something isn't worth.
No, you're right. We would think that a Hank Aaron rookie card would really be very valuable, but we know it don't mean shit compared to say a Mickey Mantle rookie card. And we know the difference is he's just black and white. So it's like, how the fuck can you even believe for a minute that Mickey Mantle was more valuable than Hank Aaron? As Gary was saying, get the fuck out of here. But that's what the market will bear.
I used to, in my younger years, I used to go to a lot of like baseball card shows, and I used to do the yearbooks and media guides, and I don't do as much as I used to, but yes, I did have that Nolan Ryan rookie card at one point, but you know, we moved, and of course, you know, I've long forgiven my mother for throwing that stuff out. I couldn't hold it again.
But how about anybody at DC and Marvel Comics? You imagine how they feel on that?
Oh, sure. Especially now, because now with superhero movies now becoming the rage, you know, back issues and original. I mean, what is it? Doesn't the original Spider-Man still go for like seven figures?
Here you go. This true story. I had a Spider-Man 1. My mother threw it away, mad at me because I wouldn't put the comic book away. And she did it out of spite. God bless her soul. Anyway, later on, this is years later, I'm working for Gannett Newspapers, and I'm writing about a local guy who started a comic book. And as I was going back, I calculated that a Spider-Man 1 in mint condition at the time it did this, and this is like late 90s, early 2000s, a Spider-Man one was worth over $35,000.
That's kind of small. Was this before the first new movie or afterwards?
Before the first movie. Before.
Oh my God, that thing is probably worth seven. I'm going to the picture. That thing is worth seven figures now.
You can probably add extra zero to it now. Oh, definitely. By far.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, because Spider, the big, depending on how you look at the who's the big three or what have you, Spider-Man is definitely in the top five with them. And anything,
I have a important question. What does Scooby-Doo Clown go for? Yay, Scooby.
Put it this way. As long as Scrappy-Doo ain't on there, it should be worth a couple bucks. But
you need to keep that in.
If Scrappy-Doo is on there, they're not going to pay. You're going to have to pay them to take it off your hands.
I hate Scrappy-Doo.
You may have to. Mike, you may have to throw in some Scooby snacks just so they can just
feel
that
idea,
too.
Oh, God.
And no joke.
Scooby-Doo.
Yes, sir. Mike. Scrappy-Doo to Scooby-Doo is what Batmite is to Batman.
Oh, fuck
oh,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Just as annoying.
For a white girl, bad girl was pretty fine. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, but now, what about Batman?
And Reg, you know they're coming out with a Batgirl movie, right?
Yeah. Are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
Is she black or white?
She's white, of course.
Oh,
of course.
Fuck, I ain't watching it. Fuck.
Well, but Reg, hold on. Some of her friends, she may have, she's going to have some sister girlfriends. Come on,
there
now.
There you go.
Oh, you know that. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
there you go.
I stand corrected.
Reg, you got to think these things out, man. You can't just think them so quickly.
I can't wait till she get that whip out. Oh, Lord.
I knew there was no part of this that was appealing to your kinky ass. I knew.
Crack that whip, Golden.
Gary, I'll just say this for you just to cover yourself. The views and opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the Grey Leopard Code.
Put the disclaimer, or the gray family of state.
I do not want to watch the CBS News out of Oakland and see them, you know, carting you away over something like this, man. It would break my heart. If you need a character witness, you got all of us here on speed dial. So, you know, you should be all right.
I don't know if that's going to help.
It can't hurt.
You better put me off to the side. I'm the main one to get his ass in trouble.
Yeah.
Damn, Gary, my last thoughts, Gary, why you cut it so short, man? Damn, who's wrong?
He's already a half hour over, Reg. Be nice.
Oh, shit. Yeah, you're right. I looked at the camera. I said, oh, shit. We overtime.
Yeah. It's a lot has been made, of course, of the January 6th hearing, and rightfully so. But very quietly, matter of fact, it's up on your way, Gary. the Nipsey Hussle murder trial has started. I believe they're in the process of picking a jury or what have you. It's very interesting that a lot of us in the black community are focusing more on D.L. Hughley versus Monique as opposed to the Nipsey Hussle trial. Just my thoughts. Just my thoughts.
Yeah, great point, too. Great point.
Hi, Reggie. What you got,
Reggie? Well, first of all, great job, Gary, for doing the show. Yeah, I love you and I applaud you. Keep up the good work. So God knows, obviously, information is coming out of this network as we've seen the food that tried to distract, and he should know about it. So Mr. Donald Trump that tried to distract,
Jesus,
my entire black ass. Because you're fired. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Well, we are about 15 minutes or so away from the big race. As of right now, the field has been knocked down. It looks like all the horses, in terms of odds, are below double digits, which means a lot of money just came in over the last 10 minutes or so.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the biggest shot in the race is only 9-1. And that's amazing considering the number of horses in the race. Normally there's a gap in between, but late money, it seems like it's speaking loudly here. So I'm expecting a decent payout. I'm expecting a decent race. Now, this Sunday on the Music Therapy Mind Stream, we are, thanks to finally getting the minions together and getting the bugs out the way, our tech crew has finally got the music situation correct. And tomorrow night, the Temptations will go against the Originals. And to start off the Midwest region of the Begging Tournament, and we will also have an appearance from Windy City, as they will be going up against the Flamingos, and Little Anthony and the Imperials will go up against the Mad Lads. That's
no relation. No relation, by the way.
No relation. No relation, but it should be some good music, so everybody kick back and enjoy some old stuff and hear the brothers sing how they used to sing when they had to beg for that stuff. Got some Drop Your Drawers music for you. Come back and listen tomorrow night at 9, Eastern.
All right.
Sounds
thank
good.
You, gentlemen. Good show.
All right. Take care, guys.
Break with
take care.
Commodores and Janet.
Good job, Gary.